جوڑے سارے جوڑے Thank you, Jordy, for your prayer. Thank you all for being here this morning. We want this morning to look at four kings that are found in the book of Daniel, and the first king, Nebuchadnezzar, and then King Belshazzar, then King Darius, and then King Cyrus. And we're reading from Daniel chapter 1 and verse 16 to 21. Thus Melsar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all wisdom and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was none found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Then Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 to 49. Verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O King, art a King of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven have he given into thine hand, and have made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and a third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the merry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with merry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these things shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as I saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron and the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation of their sure. The interpretation thereof is sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odour unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief of the governors over the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Then Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 30. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded them that they should heat the furnace 7 times more that it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed up upon them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And then read Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God have wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his words. How mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts of my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they may make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and on whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head and my bed. I saw, and behold, in a tree in the middle of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, as in it was meet for all the beasts of the field, had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed off it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, an unholy one, came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, Thus hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and shatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from the branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the Holy One, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of God, that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now then, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven and their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall set thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and the king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of the might of my power and for the honour of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and even and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whom whosoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honoured him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honour and brightness returned unto me, and my counsellors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and an excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Daniel chapter 5, verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another, yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thy king, the Most High God, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honour, and for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from the kingdom, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy counsellors have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver, of gold, of brass, of iron, wood, stone, which see not, nor hear not, know not, and they, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God have numbered thy kingdom, and finished it, Tekel. Thou art weighed in the balances, and are found wanting. Perez, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar that they clothe Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, I made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. And Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thy servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who have delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius to the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Long readings was to bring in the four kings and Daniel. In these verses that we have read this morning, we see the truth of the verse 32, in that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and that the Most High also ruleth over the animals, that the hungry, ferocious lions did not harm Daniel, and the Most High ruleth over the elements, that the 7-time heated fiery furnace did not harm Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that there was not even the smell of smoke upon their clothing, and that the Most High can speak to men through dreams, as the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. And in these scriptures that we have read this morning, that Daniel in his captivity served four kings, who are Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and Azarus, Darius, and Cyrus. Nebuchadnezzar the second, Nebuchadnezzar meaning Nabu, watch over my hair. But also was the second king of the Neo-Babylonian Empire, ruling from the death of his father, Nabu-Luwazar, 605 BC to his own death in 562 BC, historically known as Nebuchadnezzar the Great. He is typically regarded as the empire's greatest king. Nebuchadnezzar remains famous for his military campaigns in the Levant, for his construction projects, his capital Babylon, and for the important part he played in Jewish history. Ruling for 43 years, Nebuchadnezzar was the longest reigning king of the Chaldean dynasty. At the time of his death, Nebuchadnezzar was among the most powerful rulers in the world, possibly named after his grandfather of the same name, after Nebuchadnezzar I, one of Babylon's greatest ancient warriors kings. Nebuchadnezzar II already secured renown for himself during his father's reign, leading armies into the Medo-Babylonian War against the Assyrian Empire. At the Battle of Carchemish in 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar inflicted a crushing defeat on the Egyptian army led by Pharaoh Necho II and ensured that Neo-Babylonian Empire would succeed the Neo-Assyrian Empire as the dominant power in the ancient Near East. Shortly after this victory, Nabopolassar died and Nebuchadnezzar became king. Despite his successful military career during his father's reign, the first third or so of Nebuchadnezzar's reign saw little to no major military achievements, and notably a disastrous failure in an attempted invasion of Egypt. These years of lackluster military performance saw some of Babylon's vassals, particularly in the Levant, beginning to doubt Babylon's power. Viewing the Neo-Babylon Empire as a paper tiger rather than a powerful, truly on the level of the Neo-Assyrian Empire, the situation grew so severe that people in Babylonia itself began disobeying the king, some going so far as to revolt against Nebuchadnezzar's rule. After this disappointing early period, as the king Nebuchadnezzar's luck turned in the 580s BC, Nebuchadnezzar engaged in a successful string of military actions in the Levant against the Fasan states in rebellion, there likely with the ultimate intent of curbing Egyptian influence in the region. In 587 BC, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the kingdom of Judah and its capital, Jerusalem. The destruction of Jerusalem led to Babylonian captivity as the city's population and people from the surrounding lands were deported to Babylon. The Jews therefore referred to Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest enemy they had faced until that point, as a destroyer of nations. The Bible book of Jeremiah paints Nebuchadnezzar as a cruel enemy, but also as God's appointed ruler. The world and a divine instrument to punish disobedience through the destruction of Jerusalem. The capture of the rebellious Phoenician city of Tyre and other campaigns in the Levant, Nebuchadnezzar completed the Neo-Babylon Empire's transformation into the new great power of the ancient Near East. In addition to his military campaigns, Nebuchadnezzar is remembered as a great builder king. Belshazzar, who was Belshazzar? Belshazzar was the last king of ancient Babylon and was mentioned in Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar reigned for a short time during the life of Daniel the prophet. His name meaning Bel, protect the king, is a prayer to a Babylonian god. As the story shows, Bel was powerless to save this evil ruler. Belshazzar ruled Babylon, a powerful nation with a long history and a long line of powerful kings. One of those kings was Nebuchadnezzar, who had conquered Judah, bringing the temple treasures to Babylon, along with Daniel and many other captives. Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson through his daughter Nictris. Belshazzar calls Nebuchadnezzar his father in Daniel 5:13, but this is a generic use of the word father, meaning ancestor. During his life, King Nebuchadnezzar had encountered the God of Israel's power and was humbled by him. But 20 years after Nebuchadnezzar's death, his grandson Belshazzar praised the gods of gold and of silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. One fateful night in 539 BC, as the Medes and the Persians lay siege to the city of Babylon, King Belshazzar held a feast with his household and 1,000 of his noblemen. The king demanded all the gold and silver, cups and vessels plundered from the Jewish temple be brought to the royal banquet hall. They filled the vessels with wine and drank from them, praising their false god. The use of the articles from the Jewish temple was a blasphemous attempt for Belshazzar to relive the glory days of his kingdom, to recall the time when Babylon was conquering other nations instead of being threatened with annihilation from the Persians outside their walls. As the drunken king reveled, God sent him a sign. A human hand appeared floating near the lampstand and writing four words in the plaster of the wall, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." Then the hand disappeared. The king paled and extremely frightened. He called his wise men and astrologers and enchanters to tell him what the writing meant, promising that whosoever read this writing tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have gold chain placed around their neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. But none of these wise men of Babylon could interpret the words. Hearing a commotion in the banquet hall, the queen, possibly Nictris or even Nebuchadnezzar's widow, came to investigate. She remembered Daniel as one whose wisdom Nebuchadnezzar had trusted and told Belshazzar to summon the Jewish prophet. Daniel was brought before the king, but he refused the gifts Belshazzar offered him. The kingdom was not his to give, as it turned out. Daniel rebuked Belshazzar's pride. Although the king knew the story, how God humbled his grandfather, he did not humble himself. Instead, he dishonored God by drinking from the sacred items of the temple. Then Daniel interpreted the words on the wall. "Mene means God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel means you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Upharsin means your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." Daniel never revealed what language those words belonged to. That night the Persians invaded. Cyrus the Great, king of Medo-Persia, broke through the supposedly impenetrable wall of Babylon by cleverly diverting the river flowing into the city so that his soldiers could enter through the river duct. Historical records show that the invasion was made possible because the entire city was involved in a great feast, the Feast of Belshazzar, mentioned in Daniel 5. That very night, Belshazzar, the king of Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. The demise of King Belshazzar illustrates the truth of Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Who was Cyrus? In the Bible, Cyrus was the king of Persia who ruled between 539 and 530 BC. He is also sometimes called Cyrus II or Cyrus the Elder. Though he was a pagan king, he was important to Jewish history because during his reign, the Jews were allowed to return to Israel after 70 years of captivity. Cyrus is mentioned in several books of the Bible, including Isaiah, Ezra, Daniel, and 2 Chronicles. There is a notable prophecy about Cyrus in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah's prophecy, which is from 150 years before Cyrus was alive, mentioned Cyrus by name and provided information of the generosity he would show the Jews. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him, for the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you know not me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. God confirmed that Cyrus would fit into his sovereign plan when he said, he is my shepherd and he shall fulfill all my purpose, Isaiah 44:28. Cyrus made a decree allowing the Jewish people to leave, which fulfilled the prophecy by Isaiah. 2 Chronicles 36:22-23 describes it. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord came by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdom of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all the people, may the Lord his God be with him. Let him go up. Cyrus was a crucial asset in helping the Jews rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Upon their return to Israel, operations on the ground in Israel were led by Zerubbabel and the high priest Joshua. King Cyrus funded the expense needed to rebuild the temple out of the royal treasury, and he restored the treasures that had been stolen from the temple. Work on the temple stopped under King Artaxerxes, but resumed under King Darius. Because of Cyrus' decree and generosity, the Jews were able to return to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, and reinstate their worship practices that had lain dormant during their years of captivity. Some commentators have used this moment in time as the true start of Judaism. The prophet Daniel, a Jew, was part of the group of Jews who had been taken out of Judah and ended up under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. Cyrus had been made aware of the prophecies written about him, and due to his prestigious position in Persia, Daniel certainly could have been the person to have told Cyrus about the prophecies, Daniel 6:28. King Cyrus was also known for his cultural competence, human rights and advancement, and strategic military operations. He was an influential pagan leader who was used by God to fulfill the prophecy that had been spoken in Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of the water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. I saw this article published by A. Jones, God's Kingdom Ministries, how Cyrus conquered Babylon. The way that King Cyrus of Persia overthrew Babylon is the pattern for Christ's overthrow of mystery Babylon. Since we are fast approaching the time of Babylon's overthrow today, it is important to understand the original pattern in order to be able to follow the current events. Alaetes, king of Lydia, ruled from his capital city of Sardis, what is now the western half of Turkey. Attacked by Cyaxares of Mede, and ultimately the conflict ended with a treaty that was cemented by marriage. The Lydian princess Irenes was given in marriage to Prince Astyages of Media, uniting the nations. Cyaxares of Media ultimately made an alliance with Nabopolassar, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar's father, and these two overthrew Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, in 612 BC. The Medes conquered Persia, extending their conquest to borders of Lydia in the middle of modern Turkey. Meanwhile, the Babylonians extended their empire into Judea and Egypt. They conquered Jerusalem in 604 BC and finally destroyed the city in 586 BC. Cyaxares died the next year and his son Astyages came to the throne. Recall that Astyages' wife was Irenes of Lydia. Their daughter Mandane was the mother of Cyrus, but Mandane, the Median princess, was given in marriage to Cambyses, who was a Persian. So Cyrus' father was a Persian. The story is told by Herodotus that the father of history, who lived from about 490 BC to 425 BC, in the book The Histories, book 1 beginning with part 108, Astyages had a daughter called Mandane, and he dreamed one night that she made water in such enormous quantities that it filled the city and swamped the whole of Asia. He told his dream to the Magi, whose business it was to interpret such things, and was much alarmed by what they said it meant. Consequently, when Mandane was old enough to marry, he did not give her to some maid of suitable rank, but was induced by his fear of the dream's significance to marry her to a Persian named Cambyses, a man who he knew to be of good family and quiet habits, though he considered him much below a maid, even of middle rank. Before Mandane and Cambyses had been married a year, Astyages had another dream. This time it was that a vine grew from his daughter and spread over Asia. As before, he told the interpreters about the dream and then sent for his daughter, who was now pregnant. When she arrived, he kept her under strict watch, intending to make away with her child, for the fact was that the Magi had interpreted the dream to mean that his daughter's son would usurp his throne. Keep in mind that the child in question here was destined to become Cyrus of Persia, who would defeat the Medes and make them his subjects. This is why many years later it was Cyrus the Persian and Darius the Mede who conquered Babylon. There was an attempt to kill Cyrus. Note also that there was a plot to kill Cyrus as soon as he was born, even as King Herod later tried to kill Jesus shortly after he was born. In both cases, it was the revelation of the Magi that prompted these actions. Revelation 12 attributes it to the inspiration of the red dragon. In the case of Cyrus, the red dragon was manifested in the Persian king of Astyages of Media, and later in the birth of Jesus, it manifested in King Herod of Judah. The half Edomite, Edom means red. King Astyages then attempted to kill his own grandson shortly after he was born. Herodotus' history continues to guard against his Astyages. To guard against this Astyages, when Cyrus was born, sent for his kinsman Harpagus, the steward of his property, whom he trusted more than anyone, and said to him, I have some instruction for you, Harpagus, and mind you pay attention to them, whatever they may be. My safety depends upon you. If you neglect it and prefer to serve others, the day will come when you will be caught in your own trap. Get hold of Mandane's child, take it home and kill it, then bury it how you please. Harpagus protested, but was duty bound to obey the king. However, because he was also a kinsman of the king, this made him likewise a kinsman of the baby. So he decided not to do the deed himself. He promptly sent a messenger to one of his king's herdsmen, whom he knew had a stretch of pasture among mountain range, ranged by wild beasts, and therefore most suitable to purpose in hand. The fellow's name was Mitrides, and he lived with another of the king's slaves, a woman whose name in Greek would be Sino or Bitch, the medium form of it, Spackle meaning the medium for Bitch. The herdsman made haste to answer the summons, and Harpagus said to him, the king's orders that you must expose this infant in the wildest spot you know of amongst the hills, where it may soon die. I am to tell you, moreover, that if you disobey and find some means to saving the child, the king will have you put to death in a way not pleasant to think of. I am commanded to see for myself that the child has been exposed. Mitrides picked up the baby and, returning by the way he had come, took it back to the shack where he lived. Fate had decreed that his wife, who had been daily expecting a child of her own, was on that very day brought to bed while her husband was away in the city. We are told that Mithridates, returning with the child, had told his wife his new assignment. He then said to his wife, well, what do you think? It's the child of Mandane, the king's daughter, and Cambyses, the son of Cyrus, and the king has given orders to make away with it. Look, here it is. And he said, the herdsman uncovered the baby and showed it to his wife, who, seeing that it was a fine, strong child, burst out crying and put her arms around her husband's knees, imploring him to do anything rather than expose it. My own child, she said, was born today, and it was born dead. Take the body and expose it, and let us bring Mandane's son as our own. If we do this, no one will find out that you have disobeyed your master. Moreover, we shall have managed pretty well for ourselves too. Our dead baby will have a royal burial, and this live one will not be killed. Mithridates was pleased with his wife's proposal, and at once proceeded to act upon it. And so came about the herdsman's wife, when her own son was buried, brought up the child that was one day to be Cyrus, though she, of course, did not call him by that name. We find it interesting that Cyrus' supposed mother was named Sarah Bitch, which, of course, would make Cyrus the son of a bitch. Likewise, in the Jewish Talmud, Jesus' mother was a prostitute, and his father was a Roman soldier named Pandera. Both Cyrus and Jesus were insulted in this way. Cyrus was raised by a herdsman, that is, a shepherd. And so Isaiah 44 and 28 says, It is I who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. In this, Cyrus is prefigured the real Messiah, for Hebrews 13:20 calls Jesus the great shepherd of the sheep. When Cyrus was 10 years old, he and his neighbour boys were playing kings, a game they would elect one of them to be a king, and the rest agreed to be his followers. Cyrus was elected king. One of the players, the son of a nobleman, refused to obey Cyrus, so Cyrus grabbed a whip and beat him severely. He ran home and complained to his father, who took it to King Astyages. Cyrus was came to give account for himself. And when Astegi saw him, he noticed the family resemblance and took note that he had acted out the part of a king, as if he were truly royalty. Upon questioning his steward, he found that the baby had been entrusted to a herdsman to kill, so he questioned the herdsman and discovered that his grandson still lived. And it was Cyrus, however, instead of being angry, King Astyages decided to celebrate his grandson's deliverance with a feast. He then turned to Harpagus, the steward, and told him, as recorded by Herodotus, "I want you to send your own son to visit the young newcomer and come to dinner with me yourself, as I intend to celebrate my grandson's deliverance by a sacrifice to the gods whom such rites belong." When Harpagus' son arrived at the palace, Astyages had him butchered, cut up into joints, cooked, roasted, some boiling, the rest, and having the whole probably prepared for the table. To Harpagus was served the flesh of his son. When Harpagus thought he had eaten as much as he wanted, Astyages asked him if he had enjoyed his dinner. He answered that he had enjoyed it very much indeed, whereupon those whose business it was to do so brought in the boy's head and hands and feet in the covered dish, stood by Harpagus' chair and told him to lift up the lid and take what he fancied. Harpagus removed the cover and saw the fragments of his son's body. As he kept control of himself and did not lose his head at the dreadful sight, Astyages asked him if he knew what animal it was whose flesh he had eaten. "I know, my lord," was Harpagus' reply, "and for my part, may the king's will be done." He said no other word, but took up what remained of the flesh and went home, intending to bury it altogether. That was how Harpagus was punished. Since Cyrus had been elected king by the boys, the Magi advised the king that his dream had already been fulfilled in a harmless manner, so Astyages did not order Cyrus's execution. Instead, he sent Cyrus away to his biological father, Cambyses of Persia. So we see that both Cyrus and Jesus left the country for their protection. Cyrus to Persia, and later Jesus was taken to Egypt. Meanwhile, Harpagus, the steward, was burning for revenge upon Astyages. He kept in touch with Cyrus in Persia as he grew to manhood, while at the same time, as Herodotus tells us, persuading some of the Median nobles that it would be to their advantage, in view of the harshness of Astyages' rule, to dethrone him in favour of Cyrus. Harpagus finally sent word to Cyrus, setting a specific date to begin the revolt. The Persians had long resented their subjection to the Medes. Herodotus tells us when the Persians revolted, King Astyages fully put Harpagus in charge of the Median army to put down the revolt. Harpagus had suppressed his anger well enough to make the king think he would submit to his treatment with no animosity. Absolute monarchs make this mistake when they are blinded by their own belief that they have the right to mistreat their subjects at will. The result was that when they took the field and engaged the Persian army, a few who were not in the plot did their duty, but the remainder, some deserted to the Persians, and the greater number deliberately shirked fighting and took to their heels. So the Medes came to the dominion of Persia. A stagey dream came true, for his daughter had indeed brought forth a son who would usurp the throne of the Medes. Astyages had ruled for 35 years before being defeated and dethroned by Cyrus in 550 BC. Isaiah 44 and 27, that saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up the rivers. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Jerusalem, many years later, perhaps this part of his motivation to allow the people of Judah to return to their own land and to rebuild Jerusalem. Let's remember that the prophecies found in the Bible are what sets it apart from every other book and from all religions of the world. Hundreds of prophecies about the Lord have already been fulfilled, and therefore we have complete confidence that the prophecies of things to come will surely happen, just as Scripture foretells, as there are many prophecies yet to be fulfilled. Are there many prophecies which are yet to be fulfilled? Where are they found? It's amazing. All fulfilled prophecies can be found throughout the Bible. For example, look at Genesis 3:15. Has been partially fulfilled. Messiah has come and was wounded by Satan, not killed, for he rose triumphantly from the dead. The Saviour, Messiah, will yet crush Satan's head. The final blow to Satan is prophesied in the book of Revelation. And the devil that deceived us was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Also in Genesis, the great promises given to Abraham have yet to be fulfilled. In Genesis 11 and 12, God promised him a land, seed as numerous as the dust, and that his people would be a blessing to all. This has not been fulfilled. As we studied King David, we saw God made a covenant with him and a promise that the Lord himself would sit on his throne. This promise is repeated many times, the most famous one in Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice, and henceforth even forever the seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Which parts of the prophecy have yet to be fulfilled? On and on throughout the Old Testament and even in the life of the Lord in the New Testament, there are promises of things still to come. The coming events in heaven, the rapture of the saints. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The coming events on the earth. For then shall the great tribulation, such as was not seen beginning of the world, in this time no nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. The second coming of the Lord Jesus, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, with power and glory. The judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation 9, 7 and 10, Satan loosed and the doom of Gog and Magog, Revelation 20 and 7 and 9, the doom of Satan, the lake of fire and brimstone, Revelation 20 and 10, the doom of the unbelieving dead, the last judgment, Revelation 20, 11 to 15, the new heaven and the new earth, Revelation 24, 1 to 9, the Lamb's bride, Revelation 21:9-27. Isaiah chapter 46:8 states that, "Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the frame. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none else like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and the from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And according to these words, we can be certain that God will perform all these prophecies. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So then, if you're listening to these words and you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, why not call on him right away and ask him to save you? And he will, because now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, for tomorrow for you may be too late. So call on the name of the Lord while he may yet be found. Amen. Do you close in prayer?
Father, we thank you and praise your name again for thy work. Father, thy love is good. And know, Father, all things that are in thy hand. There is set before you, Father, a plan, a mighty plan. There is no great sounds in any way out, Father. We're all to trust in the Lord and lean not unto our own understanding, but believe in the Word of God. Yes, Father, we thank you that thou raises up men and governments and kings or whatever, Lord, and you take them down to thy need. And we know, Father, that there's coming a day that there'll be a judgment in this world. And the Father, that men and women that refuse to take thy Son, the Father, they'll perish in the lost eternity. But those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior will spend eternal life in eternity with the Savior himself. So Father, we thank you, Father, for that. Because that is the Scriptures, Father. And that is the Gospel that Lord, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Yes, it's been prophesied from time prepared, Lord. And that, Lord, these things just don't happen. They've all been planned for, and we give you thanks in the Savior's name. So Father, we thank you for this time in thy word. And as Psalm has went through a great detail there. And we thank you, Father, for the knowledge, Father, that we've been resourced, Lord, this morning. We pray we'll not only be healed of the word, but Father, we'll be doers of it. And so, Father, then we would ask you now if you would take us from this place, and take us to our homes in safety, and let nothing be fallen by the way. And then, Father, when we return again, Father, it'll be into the prayer meeting, into the Bible study on Wednesday, the Lord. There we commit it to you and into your heart, in the Savior's name. Amen.
Thank you, David.